This is PCJ Radio. Happy Station on the road in Kenting. Hello everywhere, welcome again to another edition of the International Happy Station. I'm Keith Parent. It's nice to have you with me for the next 55 minutes as we bring you a Happy Station on the Road show. Yes, the show is on the road. At this very moment, you can hear some background noise, maybe some people talking, some people walking, some announcements over a PA system, and that is because I am sitting in the Songshan Airport, which is the Taipei City Airport. Now, this airport is mainly used for domestic flights. Now, in a couple of moments, I'll be heading to gate number 4, where I will be embarking on a UniAir flight to Kenting in southern Taiwan. The airport that we're going to is a very, very small airport. In fact, it is so small that the larger jet planes can't even land there. The plane that we're taking is I can't see it from where I am now, but it's a turboprop plane that has seating for like 20 people. And it's around a 45 to 1 hour journey. But through, of course, the magic of radio, we will be arriving there in 3 minutes. Now, I am taking some vacation time, and I thought, well, while I'm there, I might as well record one show and record some interesting things about Kenting. So we are going to be visiting the lighthouse in Kenting, which has a very, very fascinating history. And then we're going to be heading to the Kenting Night Market, one of the most famous night markets in Taiwan. And for that, my guest expert will be Theo Lee, a name that you've heard me mention before on the show. Theo is who designed our QSL cards and other promotion material. So we're going to be heading there. And then we're going to probably record some stuff on the beach and some other interesting sounds as well, and traveling by high-speed train. So sit back for the next 55 minutes as this international happy station goes to the city of Kenting. Now, since I'll be taking off very, very soon, I thought that we'd begin with a song about flying. Well, it's about flying in a hot air balloon, but nevertheless, it is still flying. Here's Johnny Mann and his singers with Up, Up and Away on the International Happy Station show On the Road.
Spend
Well, during this special edition of Happy Station, as you know, we are, you know, recording the show with little bits and pieces around Kinting. You can hear a lot of wind noise besides that of a baby crying in the background. Let me sort of describe the area that we are at. We're standing at a point where Taiwan meets the Pacific Ocean and the Taiwan Straits. The reason this area has great importance to Taiwan is, in fact, that it is, well, it's a bit of a rarity in the world. Now, there's a lighthouse. Now, lighthouses, of course, are not rare, but a fortified lighthouse is actually very rare. This lighthouse was built in 1883 following requests from the American and Japanese government to the Chinese government after where there were several shipwrecks on the shores in this area. Now, what the main cause, of course, of the shipwrecks is that in this area of the ROC, that's the Republic of China, there is, in fact, a great amount of rocks that do hinder the passage of many ships. So in 1883, this lighthouse was built. Now, the question you're asking, because I mentioned to you that it was fortified, well, that is very, very simple. During the construction of the lighthouse, there was a number of different attacks from the different Aboriginal communities in this area. So this is the reason why it was fortified. Now, the lighthouse itself is not, let's say, big by any standards in the grand scheme of lighthouses, but there is a reason for that. The reason is that it's high upon a cliff. And surrounding the lighthouse are the original, yes, and I stress the word original, houses for the Chinese military during that period. The lighthouse itself is only around 21 meters high, and it looks just basically like any other lighthouse. It's made of cement and steel, and of course has a spiral case going up towards the center. We did try to get permission to go into it, but unfortunately we cannot. Now, the other thing that is interesting about this entire area is the view. The view is probably one of the most astonishing in this part of Taiwan. You're surrounded by the mountains, a number of growth and vegetation of different species, some of them which are indigenous to Taiwan, as well as you can see a number of wind-powered stations off in the district. Now, this area, which is the Kenting National Park, actually, it wasn't a national park until 1984. And since that time, they have been spending a lot of money into improving the area, improving infrastructure. So, of course, there's a lot of tourism now coming towards this area. The other thing that I found out about this lighthouse is the flashing time. The flashing time of the light. Yes, you know, we've seen, what is it? There's a production company called Lighthouse Pictures, right? There's no connection, of course. But anyway, the lighthouse light itself flashes every 10 seconds and can be seen at a distance of 27 nautical miles. In fact, the place that I'm staying here in Kenting at nighttime, except for last night because there were some thunder showers in the area, we could actually see it from the backyard. So it's very, very interesting indeed. Okay, right. We're going to be visiting some other areas of Kenting. We're going to be going to the beach and, well, you'll have to stay tuned and find out. So we'll have a little bit of light music and then you never know where we will end up next. This is the International Happy Station on PCJ Radio. you can probably hear the ocean behind me, and that's because, well, the little cottage that I rented is literally right on the beach. We're now at around, I would probably guess, just after 5:30 in the afternoon. And this is, of course, the time that the tide is coming in, and it's an absolutely beautiful, beautiful sunset. It's very difficult to describe, and I think radio cannot do the justice of the sunset that I can see, but it is absolutely astonishing. The sun is beautiful and orange, and so is the sky around it. At this time of day, what you will find during the sunset is a lot of night diving that is taking place. When I look along the coastal part of the beach, which is in front of the little cottage that I have, and then to the sandy part, you can see a large number of divers getting ready to dive at nighttime. Now, this is a very interesting area for diving, and I wish, of course, that we were able to record something under the water, but that would be, well, a little bit too difficult. But the coral that is in this area is absolutely phenomenal. So there is a lot of activities to do here. Now, in the daytime, these are the same people that will go surfing and water skiing and windsurfing, and then at nighttime, they will bring that equipment back and then get diving equipment. Now, here in Kenting, they have special deals for these kind of water activities. It's around 1,000 Taiwan dollars, and you can have all these activities for one day with a guide. And it's quite interesting. That's the only thing I can say. It is quite interesting. Now, unfortunately, you can't hear it from where I'm standing, but every day during the sunset, because even though this is Kenting, we're maybe about 5 minutes outside the center of the little village, every day during the sunset, a number of the local temples will let off fireworks to get rid of evil spirits. Unfortunately, we can't hear them from here, but from where I'm standing, you can actually see the firecrackers going off. Now, let me describe to you actually the little cottage that I'm staying in. It's an old house that was, originally it was a house, now it's a cottage, or described as a cottage anyway. It was originally built in the 1920s by the Japanese. There was a point, probably in the early 1920s and 1930s, this was sort of a summer holiday camp for the Japanese rulers of Taiwan. And they built all these little houses along the coast in a very Japanese style. The one that I'm staying in is actually a nice size, but it's very, very Japanese. Meaning, well, actually, when you're inside, and even if you look at the grounds, it looks like, well, it's a Japanese garden here in Taiwan. But, you know, when you come to Kenting, it is absolutely fascinating, because this is my first time here. And something that I realized last night when I was at the local night market is that it's unusual, because you're in Taiwan, which, of course, the predominant culture is Chinese culture. But when you're in Kenting, you don't have a feeling that you're in Taiwan. You have a feeling that you're in Thailand, like at Pattaya, for example, or one of the beach resorts in Vietnam. And I think this has a lot to do with the style and the kind of food that you can get here. And the other thing that I realized last night when I was walking up and down the main street with a friend of mine at the night market, well, actually, the whole street turns into a night market. There's only one street in town. There is no Chinese food. There's Vietnamese, there's Malaysian, there's Burmese, there's food from Singapore and Indonesia, of course, and other Southeast Asian countries. So it is very, very unique. If you want Chinese food in this area, you sort of have to drive outside the little town to the area that we were at earlier today, where the lighthouse is. And actually, you know, speaking of the lighthouse, like from where I am right now, I can actually see the light coming from it. It's quite unique. Now, what would one do at nighttime when you come here? Well, of course, there is going to the night market, but if you want a break for that kind of thing, and you are a shortwave listener, this is a fantastic place to listen to shortwave radio. I'm just walking up to the steps into the garden. I brought with me on this trip, like I always do, a portable shortwave radio, because I'm always interested in, number one, picking up stations that I normally cannot pick up in Taipei, and second of all, to hear what is on the international bands. Now, even though in Taipei I have a very big external antenna, there is still, nevertheless, a lot of interference. Just a moment ago, before I recorded this little segment right now, I was able to pick up the ship communications of the fishermen, which are heading out to sea at this very moment, and also picking up, clear as a bell, international broadcasters on frequencies that are not targeted towards this area. Now, I'm sitting on the porch of the area, and if I turn the volume of my radio on, which I'm doing, let's see. It's very unique. I'm punching in the frequency because the station that I had on earlier is obviously not there now. Well, that, of course, is Japan. A program in Russian. I don't think that it's Voice of Russia World Service. I think that last night, probably around the same time as it is now, I heard a station from the Philippines signing off in English and then signing on in Japanese. So it is a very unique thing.
Net report Shuntel 060200 UTC 350 degrees 2 meters per second. Hubble pull temperature 3.
Now, something, of course, that people have heard me mention a number of times on the show before are the night markets that happen in Taiwan. Most notably one that I've mentioned before called the Longshan Temple Night Market. Well, we're actually at one right now in the city of Kenting, actually. And I thought that to really, you know, talk about this, we need to have somebody who is Taiwanese. And there is someone that a lot of people have been asking about because he has designed not just the logo that we use at PCJ, but also our QSL verification card. And his name is Theo Lee, a name, of course, that I mentioned a number of times before. Theo!
Hello, everyone. I'm Theo Lee.
Okay, well, you don't have to get too close to the microphone because you're distorting like crazy. But let me ask you, like, the night markets here, now this one is very different from the ones you see in Taipei, in that there's still traffic going up and down the street. You know, we were here in the afternoon, and it's pretty much, it doesn't look like there'd be a night market. You wouldn't think it. And then all of a sudden, these little stands just pop out of nowhere at night and appear in the street, and they put these security cones so people don't get run over by passing traffic. Now, let me ask you, the night markets here in Taiwan, how important culturally is this? I mean, for example, like your family, would they every once in a while get together and head to one of the night markets?
I think the night market, to be honest, I don't really see that important for the culture, because you ask the wrong person who doesn't like night market at all. But my family, they don't need to go to night market once in a while. They just go out and there has a night market. It's night market in any corner in Taiwan. So it's pretty much comment. And of course, the night market in Taiwan, you can say, I think a lot of people know Taiwan has a very good food. But people doesn't know the good food actually is always discovered by night market first, and then spread out to Hong Kong or even North America. For example, like a bubble tea. Bubble tea, right?
That's it, yes. One of my favorite things, actually.
Uh-huh. Yes, so like that is discovered by middle of Taiwan, and then got pretty famous. Okay, like a Peking duck, you know? It's discovered by Peking, Beijing, and then now it's famous in everywhere in the world.
Right, now the night markets, of course, you know, we were talking about the food. Now, this night market here in Kenting is not exactly, you can't use it as an example of all the night markets to Taiwan, because this is predominantly a real tourist area. So there's a mixed bag of things. Like, you know, since I've been here, I've seen nothing more than Thai restaurants and Vietnamese restaurants. But like in Taipei, for example, the Longshan Temple Market, there's such a wide variety of really local Taiwanese food that I think most foreigners that would come to Taiwan and, let's say, would be staying in a five-star hotel and come here on a massive tour group and doing all the five-star things and going to trendy bars, probably would not have that kind of taste unless they go to one of the night markets, would you say?
Yes, I think Kenting night markets is a little bit different with the traditional night market in Taiwan, because the traditional night market in Taiwan is represent the local food in that area, local foods in that area. But I would like to say it's still good to come to the Kenting night market. As you are a tourist and you come to Kenting night market, and then you will see the what Taiwan night market is. Mm-hmm. And also you will get all the famous kind of food in Kenting night markets. You know, it's kind of like the tourist night market. It's more like a, you know, night market museum. You go there and you see everything and you taste everything. But of course, the best night market food is still in all of the traditional night markets.
And of course, there's something actually that's very important to mention. If somebody comes to Taiwan for the very first time and visits the night market, is that it's cheap. It's very, very cheap. I mean, of course, prices may range from different market to different market, but considering that you can eat really well in, you know, a matter of an hour or 2 hours and try different things, it's a lot cheaper than going, let's say, to a restaurant that is, you know, nice and fancy that would serve the same kind of thing. Here it's like really authentic.
Yes, and the other very important things is regarding the service, the restaurant or the waitress service in the five-star hotel, or let's say Tiffany Coat or Hermes,
right,
and you will got the best service in Taiwan Night Market. Because in Night Market, the owner, the little shop owner, they always smiling and always passionate and always very friendly. Even they cannot speak English well, but they still try their best. And you still will understand when they play their body language.
But you know, I've been surprised actually at a couple of night markets that I've been here in Taipei. And you see these little vendors. I mean, this is what you'd say, how you describe as like really local people. But some of them actually know a few phrases of English, which was I found very surprising.
Yes. I think I also know from night market that Taiwan education was not that bad as I was imagined before. And I think especially the young people, their English is okay. I think it's enough to communicate. Yeah, even the grandma can say hi.
Yeah, that's true.
say how are you, and then plus their body language.
Right. So let me ask you, when you come to the night market, because right now there's a smell of something that I just don't like, and it's kind of, as I described it to the listeners before, it smells like socks that need to be washed. It's called stinky tofu, and it's called stinky tofu for a reason. Mm-hmm. Is that one of your favorite things? Because it seems to be very, very popular amongst the people here in Taiwan.
Yes. I don't know where the stinky tofu come from, but yes, it is one of my favorite night market foods. There's two different kinds of stinky tofu. One is deep fry, and the other one is steam. Steam, right? Yeah, and the steam smelly tofu, the stinky tofu, actually is the most stinky. Yeah, but it's
and that
most
is your favorite.
Yes.
So, besides that, what are some of the other foods that you personally enjoy from the night markets here in Taiwan?
You mean the what kinds of food I enjoy?
Yeah. What are some of your favorites?
Well, I think there's one particular. Special night market food you won't get in out of Taiwan is hard for that pig blood rice cake.
Yes, I've. Yeah, you enjoy that?
Yeah. And they put with some like special sauce and the peanuts powder.
Right.
Yeah, so it's very delicious. And any one of you come, you have to try.
You know, right now we're standing in front of a stand, and it's frog eggs. Is that right? Frog eggs.
Okay, yeah. The frog egg is just, they look like a frog egg.
Okay, but it's not real frog eggs then.
No, of course not. It's just the pearl bubble tea.
Right.
Yeah, it's the pearl. It's just made by flowers.
Right. And there's so many different interesting things. Now, here in Kenching, of course, because it is right by the sea, there's an abundance of seafood. I mean, just a moment ago, we passed some stands that had gigantic shrimp and... Yeah. Oh, by the way, if you hear a popping noise, that's because people have these little air guns and they're busting balloons, the kind of thing that you'd see in fairgrounds and, say, in Massachusetts or even in parts of the UK by the sea. But getting back to the food for a moment, it is so unique because there's really anything that you want, you can find. Any taste that you want. You know, last night when we were here, I was even able to find some Japanese style foods.
Uh huh. Yes, I think for example, like the night market here in Kenting, you basically the Yunnan foods, the Malaysian food, Thai food, and also anywhere. Okay, the special things is if you come to night market, you can get all kinds of foods that you only can get in China province. Any province, the foods you can get in Taiwan night market.
So then the foods that you find in the night market then, are they from, let's say, Fujian originally?
You mean the night market foods?
No,
they come from everywhere of China, yes.
This is, for example, when the Han Chinese first came to Taiwan, and then in the late 1940s when a lot of Chinese came here, or does it go back even further?
No. If you talk about, you can get the night markets in Taiwan. They serve all different of Chinese foods. I think that's because the after Second World War,
right.
And the Chiang Kai-shek bring all of the Chinese come to Taiwan. Yeah, so I think then they got influence. The foods got influence. So I think the other perspective, the other interesting perspective of the cultures in night market is the night market food is always change. Okay, like before 1949, there were only maybe the Fujian food and some maybe original foods. But after 1949, the Chiang Kai-shek bring a lot of different province Chinese come to live in Taiwan. Then the night market start to have a lot of the different province, China province food. Mm-hmm. And I think that maybe there's another interesting thing. Now we will see a lot of Malaysian food, Filipino food, and Thai food in Taiwan night market. It's because now more and more Thai people and Malaysians, all the South Asia countries people, they move to Taiwan.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
Because Taiwan's wife, or like they come to Taiwan for
to work as domestics, yes, and take care of children.
Yeah, so I think the night market life or night market food culture is really honestly represent the moment of the Taiwan people's living.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think that's interesting.
Tell me.
Well, the other thing, of course, that's interesting, especially about Taiwanese food, there's food which is really, let's say, indigenous to Taiwan, but there's also a lot of foods that have been, like you just mentioned, have been influenced from other places, like now from Thailand, Indonesia, and other areas. But I think it really depends, wouldn't you say, on where you are in Taiwan. I mean, the south, of course, I have noticed here in this part of Taiwan, more of a South Asian influence than, let's say, Taipei. I find, as I was explaining earlier in the show, I find, even though it is Chinese, it doesn't feel as strong as, let's say, in Taipei.
Well, I think Kenting Night Market is a bit different because this is a tourist place. So they will have a lot of foreigners' foods. But in Taipei, I believe... Okay, in Taipei, because Taipei is a capital city, so you will find a Filipino night market that is almost only selling
Philippines
food. Yeah, so in Taipei, is that every different food was separate in different area. Depends on the area of the region they stay. Like the Thai people, Filipino people, they live in the Taipei County, so there has a night market. If you want to eat the best Philippine food and Thai food, you go there. But I think in south of Taiwan, because they don't have the city is not that big, so every different country's food was mixed in one night market. Yeah.
Now with the night markets, I mean, if somebody is coming to visit Taiwan, is coming to a night market, would you say to them, look, if you're going to come to Taiwan, you must visit a night market. Would you say that?
Yes, I think, of course, you must visit night markets because, first, there is a very unique lifestyle of Taiwanese. And second is, it's very cultural. It's a very cultural perspective. So it's still interesting to come to see. Yeah, but that's something. But what is I don't recommend is there has some tourists. They come to Taiwan and they go to night market every night, different night markets. So I think that's a little bit too.
Well, you get the same
naive
thing, wouldn't you?
Yeah. That is a little bit too naive. Mm-hmm. It still has some like good restaurant food. It's very good.
Now the other thing about the night markets actually that's very unique. And I mean, this, of course, you know, I'll say it again, the Kenting night market is not exactly the stereotypical night market in Taiwan. But something else that's interesting, just like the Longshan Temple one or the one near Guting in Taipei, there's all these little shops. You have the shops that have actual locations, and then you have ones that will come out and wheel, like they'll sell hats or MP or fake iPods or whatever. Is the night market itself, I mean, do people go there for mainly eating or shopping? Did that come later?
Different night markets, they have a different, they specialize different things. Like, like Longshan Temple night market, people go there mostly is for food. Yeah, but if you say, you ask why people come to night markets, they know they can get some like cheap and good food and they can eat many different things. And the other things, I think, is just people or friends or family gathering. Yeah, they walk, they talk, and they bargaining, and then they got some cold drinks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's like kill times. It's a bit like a Taiwan romantic lifestyle.
Now, with the night markets, let's say if you compare the ones here in Taiwan to, let's say, the ones that exist in China, do you feel, because you've been in China, you're from Taiwan, do you feel there is a big difference, let's say, between this night market, the ones in Taipei, and maybe ones that you've seen in China?
I think there's a big difference. First, I don't from my personal experience, I didn't see a lot of night markets lifestyle in China. Yeah, they have restaurants, but they don't have night markets. Yeah, and I think it's a big difference. And also, In night market, for example, the night market in Beijing, they maybe has
Oh, by the way, if you heard screaming, that's because there's somebody dressed as a robot. He was standing still, and then he came out front. But anyway, you were saying.
Yeah. Actually, for example, like Beijing night market. Beijing has a one night market called Donghuamen night market. But the night market there is a little bit boring. It's because, okay, maybe there has the horse trees with night market. But 3 to 5 shop, they repeat. You know, like they has a 10 shop selling sausage and the other 10 shop selling pancake.
Right.
Yeah, so in Taiwan it's different. You almost see every shop is selling different foods and different products.
Well, you know, just when we were walking, because we're walking on a side of the street that mainly has regular stands, but most of the food is actually on the other side of the street. I have seen things like Mexican food. I have seen dumplings. I have seen like the it's all different. It's like such a variety. I mean, when you come here yourself, do you ever wonder? Well, I mean, do you always have the same thing? First question. First, do you always have the same thing? Second, when you come here, do you ever go, oh, it's a little overwhelming. I don't know what I'm going to try.
I think it's the second one. I always don't know what to try. Yeah, and then the end, I go to pick the same things I always pick before.
Well, something actually that we need to mention, because sometimes night markets have a bad reputation. They have a bad reputation because people think, oh, it's street food, it's dangerous, it's not sanitation. But the night markets that I've seen in Taiwan, the stands are extremely clean.
Yes, yes. I think that may be back to 15, 20 years before. Yeah, night market food, people think it's not very clean. Yeah, but I believe from now, I believe now, because Taiwan changed a lot, and the food standard changed a lot, and also because, you know, now people got more and more high educations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think if your stand looks dirty, then no people will go to you. Because,
right.
Yeah, because that they're always looking for the clean one. Yeah, but of course, the night market, the impressions to you, you still feel not as clean as hospital or,
well, of course not,
McDonald's.
But you know, the other thing that's interesting about them is that if you look at the stands themselves, it's like a family business in many ways that's,
yes,
sometimes passed down from generation to generation.
Yes.
When we were here last night, we saw a little kid and he was cooking, yeah, next to probably his grandmother.
Uh-huh. Well, that is just, I think it's just maybe the kids want to cook and the grandmother let him play.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think that is a special case. But yes, the night market foods in the traditional night markets, there's a lot of the stand. They are generation to generations.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really. That is so you can believe how delicious they are.
Anyway, that was Theo Lee. Theo, thanks a lot for walking us through an unusual night market, because, you know, we'll say it again, this is not standard of night markets in Taiwan, because we're actually by the sea, so it has a very big sea influence. So you finally heard the voice of the guy who designed the PCJ logo and the PCJ QSL card for Happy Station that we sent out to all of you.
By the way, there's Fanantia.
Ah, you see, now we're getting to the heart of the matter. Well, Theo, thanks a lot for joining us on this edition of the program.
Welcome, and welcome to Taiwan, and we will see you soon.
well, we're almost at the end of today's International Happy Station show. Now, you hear a lot of noise at the moment, and that's because we're traveling at almost 300 kilometers an hour. In fact, we're going to be going up to 320 kilometers an hour because I've decided to take the train back to Taipei from Kenting. This is Taiwan's high-speed train that they finished a couple of years ago. And you're probably saying to yourself right now, well, it sounds very noisy. Well, it is a little noisy where I'm standing because I didn't want to disturb the other passengers, so I went in between carriages. So at least it sounds a bit more like a train than the quiet, actually, that you have at the seat. Anyway, that's it. That's all we have time for on this on-the-road edition of the International Happy Station. And hopefully that one day you will come to Taiwan and you will have a chance to visit Kenting. It is absolutely fascinating. Anyway, once again, if you wish to get in touch with us, our email address is pcj.happystation@gmail.com. That's pcj.happystation@gmail.com. You can check us out online at www.pcjmedia.com. So, on behalf of everyone that helped put this program together, this is Keith Parent, as I normally would say, in Taipei, Taiwan, but right now, at this very moment, I am in Kaohsiung, because we just went through the city of Kaohsiung, we're still in the municipality, so from Kaohsiung, Taiwan, so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.